Hi, I'm Taryn Winterbrill, host of Bestseller TV on C-Suite Radio. On this show, I sit down with leading business authors to find out what makes their books stand out from the crowd. With thousands of new business books and titles being published each year, we try to make it just a little bit easier for you to decide which ones are worth the read. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bestseller TV. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. We're here with Lori Darley. She's the author of Dancing Naked, Claiming Your Power as a Conscious Leader. Lori, it's great to have you with us.
It's so good to be here, Taryn. Thank you for having me.
Likewise. So the title, of course, grabs you immediately because, let's face it, there are many ways to dance. You chose to dance naked. Tell us about the genesis of the title.
Oh, well, that's funny. So I'm a former dancer, and I had a company here in Dallas for 20 years, and I was classically trained. So just to be clear, dancing naked is a metaphor.
Right, yes. I kind of figured that, but you never know.
Yeah, right. And as usual, my husband and I always are sort of, you know, putting our heads together about things, and he actually helped me name it.
Yeah.
And he was actually working on a card game, and I helped him name his card game. So right. It was sort of a nice swap. And then I thought, well, dancing naked by itself is not quite what I had in mind, because really my journey is way more than my career as a dancer. And so I really wanted to make the connection to my current rebrand at the time, which is Conscious Leaders, which is my company. And what is a conscious leader anyway?
Yeah, tell us.
Right? So,
as opposed to an unconscious
leader? Yeah, yeah. I mean, what is consciousness?
Right.
You could think about it like being awake or being asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us are sleepwalking through life.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we really focus on how do we think about our thinking? And so my purpose is really to elevate the way people think about themselves, about their life, about their relationships, and also to maximize their impact in the world to create a better world. So that's what I do in my coaching business and in my writing, and also just in the way that I interact with people. And it's a life journey. I haven't arrived at any particular place. It was really sort of a stake in the ground for me to say, you know what, we always have more work to do in terms of getting beyond just our survival, just our, you know, sort of default wiring.
Sure. And you're still dancing.
Yeah.
The dance continues.
Yes.
So tell us about the transition from dancing to executive coaching.
Yeah.
What was that like, and how did you choose that path?
Right. So I danced professionally until I was 43, so please don't do the math.
43?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I feel like that's longer than most, right?
Yeah, I probably stayed on stage. They should have gotten the hook a little bit sooner.
No.
But I really was struggling with what was next for me. And believe it or not, I had hired myself a coach towards the end of my, you know, I was artistic director and executive director. And I just didn't envision myself going and teaching, you know, baby ballerinas how to stand in first position in a Dolly Dink dance studio in a strip mall shopping center. And it was in that process, as well as meeting my husband's business associate, who was officing with him at the time, Dr. David Zellman, and he had the Transitions Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through his program, which was about creating an intentional, committed, and fully chosen future.
Okay.
And then I went through his Train the Trainer program, and it was then that I literally invented a future. And I remember sitting in that office in the chair, raising my hands over my head and saying, I am a transitions coach.
Wow.
That was the name of my first company. Okay. And so that's how I made the leap, and it was not long after that I started to land some corporate gigs, as we call in the performance world.
Right, right.
And I think once a performer, always a performer a little
sure.
bit. And so, you know, I put up my shingle, and it was in 2015 that I actually rebranded into Conscious Leaders.
So talk about that connection between dancing and coaching. I would imagine there's some, and there is a bit of performance involved, but there, the parallels must be striking.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a young woman, I hadn't even graduated high school, I read a book that changed my life in the way that I thought about energy. Mm. And it was called The Nature of Personal Reality. And what I found in coaching dancers, in training dancers, and trying to get the most out of my own performance and the most out of our ability to coordinate action, I realized that how we think has everything to do with how we comport ourselves, how we blend with one another's energy. And so I started to get began to train with some of the finest coaches and recognized that, you know, our performance is 100% correlated with the actions that we take. Yeah. And what causes us to take action is correlated to our thoughts, our emotions, our points of view, our worldviews, and beliefs about things, including our limiting beliefs.
Right. And what about the connection between coaching and body movements, right? Because what you emit is so much of kind
yes.
of what's internal and vice versa. I want to bring up a quote I saw in the book. You say, "My clients' movements and postures provided potent clues to their attitudes, ideas, and realities, and most weren't even aware of it. Changing the way they work with their bodies could often bring about multidimensional shifts in other parts of their lives." I thought that said it all. That's so powerful.
Thank you so much for that quote.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was really striking.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm also trained as a somatic coach, which is about working with the living body in its wholeness. Mm. And the neuroscience is really helping us make the connections that were much more abstract before the science started to really level that thinking up.
Yeah.
And so particularly in the realm of working in the emotional territories of people's experience, that often people are triggered by something, but they don't, it becomes a wash of sensation. Mm. And then there's a narrative that accompanies that
right.
almost immediately. So one of the things that I also, you know, sort of help people do is slow down that immediate interconnection between sensation and trigger and the narrative. So I feel my palms are sweating now. The narrative I have is that I'm kind of nervous or excited, or perhaps I'm just warm, right? So we are meaning-making machines.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and I have seen this in workshops as well, that when people actually take up more space, they have more presence, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can comport ourselves or just shape our bodies in ways that speak eons about
who
we're being in the moment.
I'd imagine a lot of your coaching involves that, right? Kind of posture and physicality and how they are as leaders and coaches and the messages that they're sending to their teams.
Yeah, we call it executive presence. That's our coaching jargon.
Right. But I would think you'd have a much deeper level of insight with your professional dancing background. With
Thank
muscles
you.
And things
yes.
that the everyday person
yes.
doesn't.
Yes. You know, I can't get my leg up as high as it used to go. But
at least you got it up to begin with. Right? I mean, glass half full, right?
Yeah. But there's certain things that I don't think I'll ever lose.
Right.
Just that awareness and understanding about the connection to the breath. Right. It also translates well into mindfulness practices as well, is a part of what I encourage people to do, including myself.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I have interviewed a lot of coaches on this program, but none who are dancers. And what you bring to the table is very unique and very different, just
Thank
being
you.
Present with your body, but also how that affects you as a leader and a trainer and a boss. So I thought that was really unique.
C-Suite Radio.
I did want to mention, Laura, you talk about in the first part, two parts of the book. The first part tells your story, and then it goes into working with clients. But the part where you claim your power, you go into very raw detail about your background and your personal life. Why was it important for you to do that?
To share that with the world?
Yes, but such detail. I mean, it's very raw. Even something as raw as your mother's death. It's very specific. It's detail by detail. I thought that was really interesting.
That's a really great question, and I'm not stalling. What I'm really actually almost experiencing anew is that our life's experiences shape us, and they also, the things that we learn from the challenges in our life can either make us or break us.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a psychotherapist. I don't work in that realm. But the narratives that we focus on, the ones, you know, have you ever tried to stop thinking?
You think? Right.
It's impossible.
No, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet what we can do is manage our thinking. And when we're traumatized, or if we have extraordinary experiences or things that also connect us, when we share our vulnerability, Brené Brown, I think, is a beautiful example of that, because when we tell our truth, you know, my commitment was to hopefully open up other people's hearts to their own humanity and not be taken down by the experiences, and really elevate the ones that have, I'll say, revealed their strengths way beyond what they possibly could have ever imagined before.
Something you mentioned, just do we ever stop thinking? Are you someone with all of, with the breadth of experience you have in dancing and coaching, are you able to meditate? Are you able to turn off your brain and really
I'm able to slow it down a lot. I wouldn't say that I'm an advanced meditator, but what I do practice is very simple body meditation. And what I've been able to accomplish, I'll say, is literally slow the whole system down. And I have been able to experience that sort of wah, wah, wah between the thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's important for us to give our brains some rest.
Absolutely. I wish I could do it. I've tried meditating. Reading your book, I was trying to hone in on some of your techniques.
Oh, thank you.
But, it's just, I think it's harder for some people. It's kind of like a work in progress.
It is. It is. And trust me, I'm very much a thinker.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I worry. You know, I'm somebody who's worrying about the future. Am I going to be prepared? I brought another jacket here today,
yeah, right,
to make sure
that
you know, that I was going to present well.
Right.
You know, so I'm still a human being, and I still have those automatic internal conversations, the need to look good, be
right,
smart, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that there's, the more you go public with those sort of smaller aspects of our humanity, I think it brings us together.
Absolutely. But I will pick up on something you just said, mentioning like worrying what's going to happen, what should I bring? I think that's a form of intelligence, like thinking so far ahead and thinking of possible scenarios, right?
As long as it doesn't end up in, you know, a stomach ache.
Yeah, as long as you don't bring 15 jackets, right? I mean, it's just, right.
Yeah, I'm not OCD.
Yes, exactly, exactly, OCD, right. But speaking of the thinking process, another process you mentioned, which is really unique, you talk about the clearing process, and that was a big part of your journey. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I was trained by David Zelman, and his process is extraordinary, and so I was very much influenced by that. And it's really about the spaces that we go through, that we move through. And I think I talk about this in the book a lot, which is it's not necessarily linear, one step after the next.
Right.
But the first and the most foundational step is really about our self-awareness and getting clarity around how we are relating to our thoughts. Am I identifying with my thoughts, or am I just noticing them?
Yeah.
And if I am caught in a limiting belief, what do I need to do to actually shift it? And that's like the first level of awareness that I actually have the capacity to shift from, for instance, feeling powerless in a situation, to stepping in, feeling, you know, stepping into my avatar, the 10-foot-tall Celtic woman, you know, and with a big old sword on my waist, you know, that's imaginary, that has me realize that I have more choices. If I'm in reaction to something, literally the physiology of the body shuts down. Our pupils shrink, right? We're not able to access the full breadth of information and the data that's coming in.
Interesting.
So it's important for us to be in that relaxed state so that we have more choices.
Absolutely.
So that's the first part, the clarity. And then its completion is really about getting really, I'll say, honorable resolution around your past. So telling your story in a way that, rather than it being the thing that has you feel puny or less than, how could you retell it authentically in a way that actually empowers you, right? And then recognizing, and this is a concept that David really taught me and instilled in me and many others, and that is that the act of, you know, life is an act of creation, moment by moment by moment. We have an opportunity to bring our intention to life. I have a choice to be powerless or empowered, and to make the best choice that I possibly can.
Right.
C-Suite Radio.
And then the final step is, well, what is the capacity? How much breadth and depth do I want my life to impact the world around me? And for some, for instance, I work with a number of entrepreneurs, that may be the question of bringing your, you know, amazing offer to the world in such a way to scale.
Right. How did you come up with this? Was it kind of like an aha moment, or was it years and years of
development? It was over time.
Yeah.
I've journaled forever. And it took me probably about 10 years to write the book, if you really think about that.
Because you do sort of detail how long these processes are taking you.
Yeah. It's also something that you can do in, it takes practice.
Right.
That's the point. I always tell people when I enter into a coaching engagement or even to go do a training with someone, I'm not someone who's one and done. You know, this is much like dance. You go to the bar, you do your pliés, your tendus, your grand ballement, you know,
wow.
Right? But it's only through the practice that you master something. And in the process of stepping in onto the level of mastery, you have to be able to take in and integrate the information while you're in that state of plateau, when you're not killing it, when you're not really, you know, it's just whatever that last insight is, if you don't keep it alive, it will disappear. So you have to stay with it, is I guess really what I'm trying to say.
Right. You also tap into four intelligences, which, am I saying that? Intelligence eye?
intelligences?
Right. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It sounded weird when I said it. How important is that? In addition to, you talk about this clearing process, right? I mean, do we all have so many different types of intelligences?
Well, when you think about life.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if your experience like that, this is where I start and end.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is an awareness that can be cultivated where we can tap into the wisdom of our ancestors.
Yeah, what do you call it, the DNA intelligence? Yeah, I was curious to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I know that for me, I've always had a very active dream life, and many say that this is all a dream.
Right.
I think you said at the beginning of the call, beginning of our conversation today, is your book real?
Right. Yeah, right, right.
Right, but I mean, all joking aside, we have, you know, our presence connects us to the past and the future, and here we are now. And so what is it that we choose to shape for the future generations?
Right. So how do you tap into that? Because you talk about, you know, our intellect, we know about that, our emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, but you call it body wisdom, or billions of years of our DNA.
Yes.
So how do you tap into that?
Well, first of all, you become aware that you have a body,
yeah,
and that it's not just something to be used and abused, mm-hmm, but that there is, particularly when you, as you age too, there's an intuition that becomes available when you recognize that there are more neural connections in your heart and in your gut than there are in your brain. I don't know if you're aware of that, but
I've heard a lot about the gut and the microbiome. It's funny you say that, because gut seems to be related to a lot more than we.
Yes, think. Yes. And heart math is, as you know, it's something literally that when you breathe into the heart and you send love out, mm-hmm, there is a direct physical impact to other beings that are receiving that energy.
Right.
That's a little out there. You know, I get it.
Yeah, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if we didn't go out there, we'd be stuck with where we are, and that leaves us nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Something like that.
Something like that. And Lori, what was the Conscious Leaders Wisdom Circle?
So this is a project that I started last year, and I thought, I really want to bring a group together to do some deep work over a year-long journey. And I realized that it was sort of an outpouring of my previous experience of leading teams through sort of a leadership journey. And I am launching on April 5th. And think of it this way, it's like leadership development meets a mastermind. Are you familiar with masterminding?
No. Mm-mm.
So masterminds have been around since Napoleon Hill, mm-hmm, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. And the principle of masterminding is about bringing people together to access our collective intelligence. So I'm a part of many masterminds, but I wanted to bring a unique group together, very diverse people who have a broad range of experiences. And so the leadership development meets masterminding and peer support.
Excellent.
So on April 5th, we're launching a year-long journey together. And I'm very excited about bringing these people together who are committed to changing the world in positive ways.
Ooh, sounds very unique and empowering.
Thank you.
I love how personal the book is, Lori.
Thank you.
It's truly a great just sort of your life story, but it's the story that you continue to be on, right?
Yes.
If there was one thing you could say to someone who's considering reading the book, what's kind of the most important nugget, you think, after reading Dancing Naked?
Yeah.
To take away.
I think two words: know thyself.
Mm.
Know thyself, and
yeah,
and let your gifts be shared.
Yeah.
Because the ripple effect can be incredible.
Absolutely.
And allow yourself to be open to inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
When we, in these days and times, it's easy to get cynical.
Right.
And I think that it's very important that we come together, mm-hmm, and we share our stories,
mm-hmm,
because if we just watch television or look at our phones all day long, we're not going to be very satisfied human beings.
Yeah.
And we need each other. We're pack animals.
Right. You have to stay conscious too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That seems just what you said.
And I rely on my communities, mm-hmm, to support me in sort of staying awake.
Yeah. Well, it's very evident. And thank you for telling your story. It's truly inspiring, because not that everyone thinks about it, but yeah, there is a shelf life for professional dancers. So you wonder, professional athletes, where do they go? You know,
right.
It's not a full life journey, but so your story is truly, truly inspiring. And I thank you for putting so much raw detail into it.
Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for being here. And if you'd like more information on the book, just check out our website. It's csuitebookclub.com. That's csuitebookclub.com. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time right here on Bestseller TV.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.